Hallelujah. I'm still kind of basking in the afterglow of the morning service. It's deep on the inside of me what the Lord is saying. I'm listening to what the Lord is saying. I'm anticipating what the Lord is going to do, but I'm rejoicing over what the Lord is doing right now, right here, right now, in this little group of people and this little preacher and this little ministry. And when I say little, I'm talking about simply the physical size of it. I'm not talking about the spiritual potential, because it makes no difference to God. That's one of my most quoted scriptures, because I minister in a very small context, but it makes no difference to God. It does bother me sometimes. I get looking at the natural thing, you know, that if we just had a bunch of us, we could do so much more for Jesus. And yet it makes no difference to God. That keeps coming up in Scripture, to save by many or by few. And he sent the gospel from here. He wanted us to become a global ministry. And there are people coming to our website. Some of them download, some of them don't. But they're coming to our website from all over the world. If they listen to a sermon online, that won't show up, will it? If they come to the website, and it does. If they depends which one you check. But anyway, some download. It's not. I'm not saying that everybody that hits the website downloads. But within all of that, that percentage from all those who come is the people that God wants to speak to through this ministry. And we're grateful to have the opportunity to have a pin sticking all over the world where people are coming. And believe me, there are people who do download. Some of them download so much they make up for the others that didn't. And the wonderful thing about downloading from the website is that some of it is downloaded to MP3 players or podcasts, which simply means that they can take it, and they can take it wherever they choose. And back in the day of, how many remember cassette tapes? I remember 8-track. Yeah, he still got one in his truck. I don't know what ails him, but anyway, amen. Something about, I don't know, it's a redneck thing. I don't know what. Just hate to give up that 8-track. But no, I'm just kidding, buddy. But those things are almost a thing of the past, you know, that the tape player, because everything has went to CD. But back in the day of the cassette tape, you know, we had tapes going to a prison ministry in Louisville, Kentucky, for many months, and I didn't. No one was called to preach, but they were called to go and share Christ. But they wanted the words, so I got a telephone call, or a letter rather, from Louisville, Kentucky, and said, "Pastor Venable, just like to inform you that you are ministering in the prison system in Louisville, Kentucky, because we take tapes of your ministry and we play them for the inmates, and then we make an invitation and pray with them if they want to come to Jesus." So I had no idea that I was being allowed, permitted to preach in the jail system in Louisville, but that was way back at the Holy Church of God on 10th and Sitka, and God let us know about that through a telephone call. There may be things happening we don't know anything about, but what we have learned is that the Lord has never let the gospel stay within the four walls of our church, just to the people within it. He's always taken it beyond. Paul put it this way, "I must preach the gospel to the regions beyond." And I pray that we can continue to do that with God's help and with people just like you folks that share the vision for that. So know tonight that we're continuing that outreach. I didn't mention it this morning, and last week I don't think I mentioned it, but we are still on the radio. The website is up and running and thriving. Praise God, and people are still coming from all over the United States and all over the world to our website. Only God could do that. If we tried to promote ourselves, we couldn't get it out of Tampa, but God has taken it way beyond that. Amen. So let's lift up the Lord tonight.
One little announcement. Next Saturday at Doug and Sherry's, we're going to baptize Paula.
All right.
And we want everybody who wants to be a part of it to come and share. And if you want to be baptized again, it's perfectly all right.
Anyone.
I mean, you know, if you've come back to God and you want to get baptized again, that you don't have to, but I did twice.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt me a bit.
Four o'clock.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
I thought he was baptized four times.
4 o'clock.
Been doing a lot of backsliding on us, haven't you? Okay.
And we're going to have fellowship, so bring a covered dish.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time together in fellowship and do something that's very holy and very significant.
Yes.
Paula has come to Christ and wants to be baptized in water, and we're going to accommodate her in this great thing. And anyone else, and know anybody that needs to be baptized, bring them on down. Hallelujah. We'd be more than happy if they've come to know Jesus to baptize them. Amen. Let's lift up the Lord and move into what He wants us to be praying for tonight, along with praying for revival and along with praying. I'll give you a little preview right now. Along with praying for revival and along with praying for one another, we are instructed by the Lord if anyone is suffering anywhere for Jesus Christ, that we are to identify directly, distinctly, because we're part of one body, and it doesn't stop with this congregation. Amen. It is worldwide. It's global. It's international. And all over the world, something astounding to me, and you'll see this in just a few moments, but something quite astounding to me is that there have been more people martyred in the 20th century. Now we're just past that into the 21st. More people in that period of time have given their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, identifying with Him as a Christian, than all of the martyrs that were slain for the gospel from the first century church forward. More in the 20th century. That means the persecution has been ramped up. The enemy is ramping it up. These are the last days. The time is short. And the persecutions are hot and heavy. Oh, by the way, you don't have to go over to Afghanistan. You don't have to go to some Muslim country to find it. It's right here in the United States of America. Every Christian, all those that live godly, are going to suffer persecution. Amen. My wife and I were discussing it on the way to church, that God's doing wonderful things, and we fully expect the persecution to increase during that, because that's how it works. Have you ever heard about the hundredfold blessing? Anybody here heard about the hundredfold? You know, some people just take that literally, but I mean, if you're going to take it completely literally and not take the spiritual point of it, then you got to get a hundredfold wives. And to me, that's polygamy and bigamy and forbidden by Scripture. No man is left house, land, husband, wife, sister, brother, for my sake in the gospel, that shall not receive a hundredfold husbands, wives. Husbands, wives, are you kidding me? Come on, you just can't take the material part and leave off the rest. What he's saying is, anything that you and I sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, amen, whatever houses, lands, and all these things could give us, God is going to give us joy in the place of that in fulfillment that's way beyond a hundredfold houses. Amen. Hallelujah. There are billionaires tonight that don't have the joy. I start to say that we have, that we're supposed to have. Can you say amen? That we should have and could have tonight. Praise God. But that joy is something that is not for sale on the marketplace. And anyway, it says, no man have left house, land, father, mother, sister, brother, for my sake in the gospel, that shall not receive a hundredfold houses, lands, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers in this life with persecution. Come on, it's a little something in there that a lot of people don't want to hear that part. Tell me about the blessing of the kingdom, but don't add with persecutions. Everybody say with persecutions.
With persecutions.
Let me ask you a direct question. We're going to sing about three songs and get right into this. How many people that you can honestly say that since you've decided to follow Jesus, you've experienced some degree in some form or another of persecution? Thank the good Lord. If it wasn't for those hands, I'd have an altar call right now, try to get you saved. Amen. Or at least get you to start living right. Persecution comes with blessings. You can't be blessed and not be persecuted. Because if we are the advertisement for the kingdom of God. And when people see us set in contrast to the world and its culture, and they see our joy, they see our peace, they see our love, they see our fulfillment, they see our contentment in Christ. Hallelujah. They see our enthusiasm, our passion for serving Him. Hallelujah. They can't touch that. They get inquisitive about that because they can't buy it and they can't manufacture it, and we possess it. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So no wonder the enemy says, you know, I got to suppress that. I've got to oppress them through persecution every chance I get. I've got to get at their joy. I've got to interrupt their peace because people are liable to listen to them. And what's worse, people are liable to want what they've got and ask them how to get it. And there's a scripture that said when we get it right, that's going to begin to happen in our life. Amen. Be ye instant in season, out of season, always ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in us. Can you say amen? When they see that glad anticipation of future good, no matter what our circumstances or the circumstances of our world, they say, I can't buy that. Ted Turner can't buy it. He was whining the other day about taxing the rich and or something like that. Anyway, I don't, you know, it's the whine that gets me. I forget the politics of it. It's the whine that gets me. You know what he whined about? He whined about the fact, you know, if I have $1 billion and they end up taking half of that, I only have 500 million left.
Yeah, we feel your pain, brother. Yeah.
And the commentator says, I feel your pain. Can you say, man, only 500 million left. Boo hoo. It's crazy out there. But I'm going to tell you something. Ted Turner can't buy what we possess here tonight. Praise God. Let's celebrate it and sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We honor you, Lord. We love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In this very room. Hallelujah. Think about that. He's in this very room right now to receive the worship we offer him. We acknowledge your presence here, Lord Jesus. Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabasiti anda, selamadi anda rabukose, salamarite tadamaso, nende rabaroshe, ki salamana, nende rabaroshe lama. Father, we praise you, we adore you, we worship you, we honor you here tonight. Hallelujah, wonderful are you to me. Thank the Lord. Thank you for worshiping like that. Praise God. How many believe they meant it tonight? How many up here believe they meant it tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. I do believe that. I do believe that. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a song to kind of set a standard here tonight. I really feel like that the Lord is wanting us to identify with Christians around the world, and what we've been trying to do in these meetings to intercede, praying that God would stretch forth his hand. It's a prayer that was prayed when the gospel was threatened by the suppression of the gospel through persecution in particular. After a lame man was gloriously healed, Jesus' resurrection is being proclaimed. And to verify the resurrection, a lame man that sat at the gate beautiful was healed. They immediately called them before the councils and began to persecute them and threaten them. They asked them first, by what authority did you heal this man? They said, remember the man that you put up on the tree, whom God hath raised from the dead? Amen. We want you to know, through faith in his name, this man has his perfect soundness before ye all. And they would have killed them on the spot, but they could not deny that a notable miracle. Everybody say a notable miracle. Now, there are things that happen inside of us that you can't find a paper trail for, and the world will never accept it. But there are notable miracles that are undeniable, and that's the kind we need just now to verify the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they straightly charged them. They would have killed them, but they feared the people, but they could not deny that a notable miracle, Acts chapter 4. And then it said they sent them away, and they threatened them. They threatened them with death. And they sent them away, and when they came back to the church, and they all gathered together under the threat of death, because here's what they told them. They didn't tell them not to have church. They didn't tell them not to have theological discussions. They didn't tell them not to talk about God in some kind of generic terms. Amen. They told them specifically, do not preach or teach in that name. You know why? Because the scripture said, and this is what causes such a violent reaction to the gospel of Christ, that there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved except for the name of Jesus. Why? Is it just a name? No, it's because He shed the sacrificial blood at the cross. It was His blood that sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. Can you say, man, and without the shedding of that particular peculiar blood, there is no remission of sin? Can you say, man? And there's pressure and persecution around the world, and there has been ever since they hung Him on the cross. Persecution came immediately to the church. So all the blessing of all of those miracles involved intense persecution. One church was under it so bad, he said, Satan is going to persecute you for 10 days. There's a time limit on it, but it's coming. Prepare yourself in the book of Revelation. Some of you he's going to put into prison. Some of you he's going to put to death. Be faithful unto death, for I will give you a crown of life. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, martyrs have been around for a long time, and the list of martyrs is growing underneath the throne. Their voices crying for justice from beneath. They're not crying for their vengeance. They're crying for God's justice. Can you say amen? And John wanted to know, what are these voices in the book of Revelation? Underneath the throne, their voices rising. What are these voices? What are these voices? And the angel said, these are the souls of them who have been killed for the sake of the gospel. And they're saying, how long, O Lord, will you not avenge our blood upon the inhabitants of the earth? The evil, wicked people that trodden underfoot the blood of the cross and continue to kill those that want to love them enough to tell them the story of Jesus. He said, just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. In God's economy, he said, it won't be long. Compared to eternity, it's just a little while longer. Until your brethren, right there living upon the earth right now, that are also going to be killed for the sake of the gospel, join you. There's something about the accumulating of innocent blood and the indignation, God's cup of indignation filling up. There's a point in time when He will no longer come to this earth to seek and to save. There's a day coming called the day of the Lord, and the Bible said it burns like an oven. Amen. We forget that a judgment is coming. Not because God wants to judge, He wants to save. But people who reject salvation, the Bible is very clear. Amen. It's a fearful thing. How should we neglect such a great salvation as this? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that message has been lost in the warm, fuzzy, comforting message to the world in the 20th century, 21st century. Amen. We need to let the sinners know that refuse the gospel, that it's a terrible fate that awaits them. And we need to tell them in love with broken hearts. Can you say amen? That's why the intense hatred and the intense animosity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one young man wrote a song called The Martyr's Song. I like it because he talked about Paul. And he talked about those five young missionary men who, if you saw the movie, The Point of the Spear, The Edge of the Spear, amen, that laid down their life back in 1955, paved the way for the gospel to people filled with bloodlust and hate through their own giving up of their life. Other missionaries were given credibility. We have a blood-bought gospel, and we have a blood-brought gospel. And I believe that the Christian church in America has room to deepen our devotion to Jesus Christ. So many are laying down their life for Him, literally, that the least we can do here is live all out for Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to this song. He's honoring Paul. He's honoring those five men. He's honoring a young woman in Columbine High School that was asked, do you believe in God, just before she was killed. And she had already given her life up to the Lord. So it was a quick and easy affirmation of her faith. Amen.
forsaken is pride cast to the ground. He was thrown into a prison, beaten within an inch of death. When at last his life was taken, South America. 5 young men who heard God calling and answered, "We will go." One of them, he knew the danger, but he said, "With my life, but she was wise beyond her years. She placed her hope in things unseen and denied her human fears. "I gladly give my life for Jesus." Friends would often hear her. Then it happened one April morning. Rachel gave her life away. "I will take up my cross. I will count all things as loss to the glory of Christ, my Lord. If they take my life from me, then my sacrifice will be for the glory of Christ, my Lord."
Thank you, Lord, for people that love you that much, that show us just how much it's worth to know you. There are people in the scripture that the Bible said, they're the others. Some were delivered from the sword, and others. We read all of those faith scriptures up till the others, and then we kind of stop right there. We put the brakes on. We shouldn't put the brakes on, because the greatest honor is not for the people that were delivered from, but laid down their life, suffered for the sake of the gospel. And others wandered about in caves, and they wore animal skins, and they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might have a better reward, of whom the world was not worthy. And it's because of what they did that the gospel spread like it did, because you just don't do that for a fraud. You don't do that to confirm something that you know in deep inside is false. But if it's real, and if death doesn't end it all, and if we're promised, amen, the victor's crown, then it's worth living for, worth dying for. Hallelujah. Of whom the world was not worthy. An acquaintance took a trip, Paul's missionary journey. Went to all the places Paul went. It was a cruise, and then you went by bus, and it took Paul's missionary journey. It's all Christians, and one of the stops was Rome. And he said, I wanted to see the Colosseum in Rome. So he said, when I walked out on that sacred soil where so many Christians died in so many horrible ways just because they named the name of Jesus, he said, I felt deeply convicted for all of my complaints, for all the things that I let, that I thought was so big that I could justify my discouragement, that I could withhold my praise, my worship, my service during that time of mourning over my pain. And he said, when I stood there where families, literally families, were killed for the sake of the gospel, to the cheers of all the people watching and the jeers, and to have the grace to give up their life that the world might know that this Savior is worth dying for and this gospel is precious, more precious than life itself. That's what helped propel the gospel so that we would have it like we have it here today. Amen. It's sprinkled with the blood of his cross and the blood of all those that willingly laid down their life. They could have escaped. All they had to do is recant. All they had to do is give up their faith in Jesus, but they didn't. Just a little something to remind us of what we have in Jesus and to never withhold our praise and our worship from such a worthy one as him. This is real sketchy, maybe too blurry. Maybe it's good that most of it is kind of blurry. It's from a 1951 film, and I wouldn't want to see it in 2011, as graphic as it could be today. But I have heard enough peripheral stuff getting in the way of the vision for souls. I have pastored for 40 years, and I have seen and heard too much junk. When Christians lose sight of what we're here for, what we're supposed to be doing with our life. You're privileged, my children, for you live in a nation that still protects you. Rejoice, be glad, use your freedom wisely, saith the Lord. Seek me while I may be found. Seek me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man shall work, saith the Spirit of God. If these things be done in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Rise up, my people. Stand true and strong. For the hour is very, very late. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the grace of God, Brother Taylor, I'd have quit ministry a long time ago. Preaching the gospel I embrace and love. But I get weary of the junk. And if you think there ain't junk around churches, just hang out at one for a while. You'll find out how much trashy, junky stuff that swirls around in conversations. And it ought to be about Jesus. And it ought to be about souls. Can you say, man? Well, that's me tonight. That's why I'm still here, because I'm still about Jesus. And I'm still about souls. Praise God. Hallelujah. In spite of it all. That's not in Technicolor. That's not with Dolby sound. That's not a very clear picture. But it's enough to make me want to stay focused on Jesus. How about you? How about you? I'm going to give you a charge tonight. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that's good to edify. Would you get that song ready after we pray that we had this morning, the fellowship song, if you will? We can't afford to let our flesh rule us any longer. Can you say, man, too much is at stake. Too many people have suffered for the gospel. For any of us to let the devil use us to be a hindrance. Amen? Do you realize what dedication it will take to let everything be done to the edifying, to the building up of the body of Jesus Christ? But we need each other, folks. You know, when I watched these little clips, I thought, what if it was this congregation this morning, the full representation of our little church? What if it was us in that day? It is not beyond the realm of possibility. It would be well within the realm of probability that they could take our whole congregation and hold us over for the Colosseum, for our testimony in Jesus. And we could have been the ones kneeling and listening to the jeers of those people and the cheers as the lions are let loose. That is a fact in history that is not Hollywood dramatics. That's what really happened. And the thing about it is, in some form or another, the torture and the killing of Christians is still going on. In the time it took you to watch that video, three Christians were killed for the faith in our world. And that's how it's accumulative. We live in a cushioned nation. We live in a crib with that cushion around it so we don't bump our head on the crib while we're cared for. And we forgot that there's a big world out there without the crib and without the cushion. Can you say amen? And I personally do not believe that the devotion is as such, for so many are following Jesus for the wrong reasons. I do not believe the devotion is deep enough here in America to stand persecution should it come here. I believe it would thin the ranks. I believe a lot of churches, including ours, wouldn't be as full on Sunday morning if we had to face what they face to carry through with their testimony. I want to follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to follow the Lord. I want to get away as far. I distance myself from all the junk as far as I can. At the risk of becoming reclusive, Brother Taylor, I just don't have time. Amen. The time is short, and I'm serious about my commitment. And did you say, well, maybe we ought not show that in church. We ought to show it in every church in America. Can you say, man, they need to know, amen, that this gospel came with a price. We were bought with a price, and the gospel was brought to us with a price. And we need to be a generation that can pass it on faithfully to the next generation should Jesus tarry. Praise God. I want you to stand right where you are, and let's pray together. And I want to pray in particular for those who are suffering around the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. We don't have to pray for those who have been martyred because they're safe and sound. The closest people to God's throne in heaven are not angels, but those who have laid down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Right there, beneath his throne, not beside his throne, but beneath his throne, right up next to him. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we need a revival in our church. We need a revival in our families. We need a revival in our nation. We need a revival in our world. And when they were threatened with death and through persecution in the early church, they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand. Look what they're threatening. Stretch forth your hand, not to hurt them, but to heal. And that signs and wonders be done, that the power and presence of God be made manifest where the gospel is preached. Stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, the threat is very real today, not just through persecution, but through lukewarmness, through stagnant Christianity, through compromise. Oh, Father, behold the threatening to the gospel today, the misrepresentation of what is so precious, and that's your blood and your cross. Jesus, stretch forth your hand as we declare your word. Heal the sick. Deliver the captive. Deliver the oppressed. Let demons be dethroned and cast out. Hallelujah. Let strongholds fall tonight in the name of Jesus. Let our young people be convicted of their sin and truly saved tonight in the name of Jesus. They're not ready for your coming. Oh God, send a revival to our youth. Let moms and dads dedicate and rededicate so that our kids and our grandchildren will see that we serve a God that's worth everything, a God that is a supreme value. Let us not become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. For the time is swiftly passing. Oh, Rabba Saraba, Nanda da Bokora Bahasidia, Nanda da Basidia under the Bokota, Nanda da Basidia under the Mosata. Nothing. I repeat, listen, if we want Joel's revival, if we want the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and we want the former and the latter rain, then nothing can be more important than God's work and God's word. Can you say, man, let the bridegroom leave his chamber? He's right in the middle of his honeymoon. You'd think there's nothing more important than that, but God says, I'm ready to move. When I'm ready to move, there's something more important than your honeymoon. Can you say, man, there's something more important than your vacation? There's something more important than your hunting trip. Can you say, man? And unless God's work gets more important than the things that get in the way of it, we'll never see that mighty revival that God wants to send. But oh, how we need it! Oh, how we need it! When the love for God begins to wane, it don't mean anything. The only thing that gets our energy is our work. We play at our work and we work at our play. There's energy for everything we love. There's time for everything that we love. There's money for everything that we love. Shalaba kosalaba. What we love gets our time. What we love gets our energy. What we love gets our money. Shalaba kosalabadite. That's why the Bible said, lay it up in heaven. Lay it up in heaven. Lay it up in heaven. Lay your treasure up in heaven. For where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. Oh God, we need a revival. We are desperate people tonight. Lord, we need a revival. Oh Father, we need repentance. We need a reconstructing. Lord, we need our lives turned upside down so they'll end up right side up before you. Father, we need to be at least willing to live for you in America. Oh, if they're willing to die for you all over the world. The least we can do is live all out for you. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you tonight. Let's just lift our hands and give him praise tonight. Let's just thank him. Let's just thank him. I get passionate when I preach and when I pray. My prayers are becoming fervent. There's an import to it. They're not professional prayers. They're not meant to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for raising up men and women that would lay down their life so we could have the gospel today. Thank you for every drop of blood that was shed on that cross. And thank you for every drop of blood from men and women and children that has been shed and is being shed tonight so that others may know you. Thank you for those of whom the world is not worthy. May we join them. We're not asked to physically lay down our life, but we're asked to offer our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Oh, Father, help us to love you back for loving us that much, to deepen our devotional life to you. Hallelujah. To make deep, strong commitments that death can't even break. In Jesus' name. And through that deep commitment, bring a mighty Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. Touch our children, our grandchildren. Hallelujah. The people we work with, Father, the people we interact with. Father, I pray for pastors in pulpits that don't have a vision for anything but the building. The buildings and the budget are taking all the time, all the energy, and most of the preaching time. You don't get into this thing to become a millionaire. You get into this because you see the true riches is what Christ has done for us at Calvary. That's the only reason to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. The world church is forming. And a large segment of Protestantism, including a large section of Pentecostalism, is ready and willing to join it. There are already ministers saying that you can go to heaven without believing on Christ publicly. 30,000 people attend their church on Sunday morning, and their books sell a million because there's no persecution when you're so inclusive. You exclude the exclusiveness of Christ's blood and what he did at the cross, and you sell out all of those people that laid down their life for this truth that we should hold so precious and so dear tonight. If you want a warm, fuzzy, fluffy feeling every time you come to church and never be challenged to make a deep devotion, that is not what we're here for. And I hope that's not what you came for. Can you say, man, we can't dance every night. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry, and there's a time to build, and there's a time to tear down. I believe God wants us to tear down the idols in our life. There's a time to plant and there's a time to pluck up. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you, before God can plant holy seed in us, we've got to pluck up some things. If there's a root of bitterness, we've got to pluck it out. Hallelujah. But if we pluck it out, God will plant holy seed and grow something beautiful in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't wait until God's glory shows up in this place. And I'm not looking for smoke and fire. I'm looking for hearts ablaze. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Praise the Lord. That's how I know the glory is showing up. Praise the Lord. And I feel it tonight. I feel it coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are connected to a family that reaches around this world. And part of that family is suffering and dying for the sake of the gospel. Let's live for God. Let's intercede and keep praying for our brothers and sisters from the Arctic to Africa. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's have this song once again before we leave here tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you're saying. Are you glad you came tonight? Have you been challenged to deepen your devotion to Jesus tonight? Praise. Have you been convicted about complaining? I have. I'm going to lead the charge of being convicted of complaining. I've done enough of it that the Lord is probably sick of hearing me. Praise God. I want him to hear my choice praises. Hallelujah. And you know what I want you to hear? I want you to hear how good God is. I want you to hear how wonderful Jesus is. I want you to hear what blessings he has in store for them that'll keep their eyes upon him. Praise God. Give him praise in here. If you want to go, you may, but I just feel his presence here. I feel it on this floor. I feel it on this pulpit. I feel it on these chairs. I feel it on these plants. I feel it on my head and my feet. Let your spirit rest here, Lord. Let your glory rest upon us. Let the services change. Let them change. Let them change. Let them represent your presence, O God. These are different days. These are holy days, mighty days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bring it up and give him praise. Hallelujah. From Ireland comes this great prophetic song written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the Scottish Isles. From Ireland, the Emerald Country. These are different days.
These are the days of Elijah.
Sing it.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant. Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the trials becoming as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David,
rebuilding
the temple of faith. And these are the days of the harvest.
time over to praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb, 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 glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, behold us tonight. Behold our hungry hearts. Behold our needy lives. We come to you. We lay it all down. We lay it down at the foot of the cross. We lay it before your throne tonight. Lord, take us, shape us, use us, Lord, in this last crucial hour. There are people here apt to teach. There are people here with a vision for youth, with an anointing for them. Oh, Father, we just need the people. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare us to receive them in the name of Jesus Christ. There are ministries here. There's anointings here. Father, the radio is going forth full force. The website is going to the nations. But, Lord, here in this city, here in this county, here in this community, Lord, we pray that we can have an impact in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. As Brother Taylor said so many times, since we are logistically in proximity to this neighborhood, I know there's drugs in this neighborhood. I know there's addiction. I know there's alcoholism. I know there's broken families and broken lives. Lord, touch this community. You put us here. You could have put us anywhere around Tampa, but you didn't. You put us here. You could have put us convenient to Land O'Lakes, but you didn't. You put us here, and you put us here because you wanted to do something. And Father, we're here to accomplish it by the help and grace of God. And everyone that believes that we're here for a reason said, amen and amen and amen.